Good evening. It's good to be with you again. I welcome you with all my heart. Cheers. There are some of you who can't wait to hear me say something. But I say to you that the silence is more potent than anything I can ever say. In the silence, there is reality. When one speaks, they spoil it. It's not the words. It's what I say between the words. You must comprehend this. Anyone can speak words. And you interpret them in your brain in accordance to your upbringing. So the words that I say mean something else to everyone. For instance, I say, all is well. It sounds like a statement that everybody would be able to understand correctly. But they don't. To most people, all is well means everything is okay as long as things are going my way. To others, all is well in a certain place at a certain time. But not in another place or another time. All this well speaks for itself. It literally means that everything is okay no matter how it looks. Even if you're personally going through some kind of catastrophe, or what you call catastrophe, that's your perception. But all is well. There's never anything wrong except in your mind. This is why we emphasize so much to get rid of the mind. Because if you are not functioning from your mind, when I say all is well, you will accept that in your heart. And you would know all is well, period. No analyzation. Nothing comes after it. All is well. That's it. Today is the first day of spring. They say a man's heart turns to love in spring. How about a woman's heart? But every spring, I get lots of phone calls for some strange reason from aspiring yanis who want confirmation for their enlightenment. That's very strange. I get calls from all over the country from people who want me to confirm to their enlightenment. And it's real funny if you were there to listen to some of them. One person called me from Houston. And said, "Robert, I don't know this person, but," she said, "Robert, I think I'm enlightened. Can you confirm this for me? I don't like anything anymore. I hate my family. I hate my job. I hate the world. I just want to be alone. Am I enlightened?" Sure. What can I say? I told her to go back and practice some more and call me next spring. And hung up. There's no use trying to rationalize with people like that. What is jnana? And what is bhakti? We'll talk about that a little. Unfortunately, jnana attracts many intellectual snobs. They read the books, they go see a few speakers, and then they can recite everything backwards and frontwards. And they think they're enlightened. To tell you the truth, I don't even know what the word enlightened means. It means you're all lit up, like a Christmas tree. What's enlightened? You're a light bulb. And somebody turns you on. What they're actually talking about is the natural state. To where you are, for real. And for want of a better word, they call that enlightenment. What is jnana? It means knowledge. Not dry words, but knowledge of the self. Actually, jnana is not really knowledge. It's being. It's not knowing words. It's being the self. And again, the self is another word for the natural state. There's nothing complicated about this, and there's nothing too intellectual about this at all. When somebody's experiencing jnana, they become a loving person. Because the whole world becomes themselves. the whole universe as a self. They become kind. They no longer think of me, me, me. They look at others as themselves. For they are just aware that the whole universe is nothing else but the self. The self actually means ultimate oneness. One self. Not myself and yourself, but the self. And that self involves compassion, kindness, love, peace. It's the same as bhakti, which is devotion. When you become your natural state, you automatically become devoted to yourself. And yourself is the whole universe. So you become the servant to humanity. You no longer need to come first. You're no longer fighting for survival. You're at peace with everything. This self is you. This love is you. As long as you think you are separate, how can you possibly be enlightened? As long as you say to yourself, I am enlightened, or I'm getting close to it, you are still dealing with the I. You have forgotten that as long as I is around, you cannot be awakened. I has to be transcended. You have to forget about yourself, personal self. And you can't imagine that you're going to do that, it will not work. So when somebody tells me, Robert, can you confirm that I'm enlightened? So sometimes I ask them certain questions. When is the last time you got angry? Let's just talk about today. When's the last time you got depressed? Felt out of sorts? Felt someone is picking on you? Felt threatened, betrayed? Felt anything? As long as there's someone to feel anything, how can you say that you're awake? This does not imply that a person who's awake has no feelings. But the feelings are universal, not personal. The personal ego is dead. And you have expanded your consciousness so that you encompass the whole universe. You no longer think about your personal self. As long as you're dealing with your personal self, where you still feel your personal emotions, you are still asleep. And when you do awaken, you will never ask the question, am I awake? Because the I is gone. There's no one left to ask. As long as you can still ask, you're not there. Now the important question for us is, why do we want to get there, wherever there is? Why do we want to awaken? Because when we awaken, we will feel such peace that we can't even comprehend it. We will feel such joy, such bliss, and yet what we call the body will carry on its work. People fail to comprehend this. Most people still believe that jnana, when you become enlightened, you become like Ramana Maharshi. And you go to a cave and you sit by yourself, people come to visit you, and you give them nice words. On the contrary, since enlightenment is your natural state, you can become enlightened in every state you're in. If you're a garbage collector or a postman or a nurse, it makes no difference what your profession is. When you become enlightened, your body will still continue to do the work even better than you can ever imagine to do it yourself. Except your mind will not interfere, because you have transcended your mind. Therefore, you will be at peace in whatever you do. Whether the task is unpleasant or pleasant, those feelings will no longer disturb you, because there's no one left to be disturbed. And people will look at you as an ordinary person. You'll not be anything special. Except that you will be home. It's like when you're sleeping. If you were able to be conscious while you're asleep, there would be no thoughts. Just peace. And you would experience bliss. You therefore learn to sleep consciously. The self is always aware of you sleeping, dreaming, waking, and whatever you do. And because you have turned into the self, you are always aware. You are pure awareness. That is your nature. but your body continues to function. It appears to sleep, it appears to dream sometimes. During your waking state, you eat, you drink, you do everything. Except the I has been destroyed. There's no one left to respond to anything. You are always aware of yourself as everything. Now, bhakti is the same as jnana. In bhakti, you surrender completely to the self or to God. You no longer are concerned with your life. You do nothing further than your nose. You give it all up to God. You rely upon God to take care of you, to watch over you, to protect you. And whatever happens is good. And that's bhakti, devotion. And as you abide in surrendering to God, the ego becomes deflated. Until you become God yourself. Then you can say, as Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Or you can feel as Moses felt when he said, I am that I am. The worst thing you can do with your life is to become an intellectual snob. Where you read too many books on jnana and you lose your loving feelings, your devotion, and your kindness. Never lose those things. Never believe that when you awaken, you will not care about anything. That's not true. Again, what happens is you expand your caring. Before, you used to care only about yourself. Now you care about the whole universe, everybody. Everything, including insects, bugs, cockroaches, plants, everything, animals, humans. You have become all of those things. You have become free. I know it's hard for some of us to imagine, how can I care for all of those things? How can I be all those things? And again, the example is a gigantic screen. And on the screen are all of the bugs and insects and cockroaches and plants and people and planets and galaxies. Everything is on the screen. The screen, being yourself, is aware of itself. But it's also aware of all of those things superimposed on itself. In other words, it realizes that those things are really an optical illusion. Because if anybody tries to grab them on the screen, where do they grab the screen? They can never grab the person or the cockroach or the plant or the animal that's on the screen. They grab the screen. But yet all those things seem to appear on the screen. An awakened person knows they're the screen. And the whole universe is superimposed on them. But they also realize that everything is an optical illusion. It's an appearance. That's what I mean when I say, you are the universe. Right now, most of you believe that you are a personal self, that you are a body and a mind, and that's all you care about, taking care of me, looking after me. Your philosophy is, if I don't take care of myself, who will? So you're stuck in the self and you suffer accordingly. You have happy moments, you have sad moments. There are times when you suffer, and there are times when you're elated with joy when things go your way. But remember, when you are stuck in yourself, you are part of the world of cause and effect. And you come under the laws of karma, reincarnation, and the rest of it. Those things, remember, are only appearances. This is the reason we should strive to wake up. If we don't wake up, we're like a leaf blowing in the wind, never knowing what's going to happen from one day to the next. One day we think everything is okay, then there's a death in the family, or an accident, or a bankruptcy. Something happens, and then things are not okay. So in the human part of us, there's always a battle going on. We're trying to win the battle by accumulating money, or accumulating property, or accumulating friends. Always accumulating. We think this will make us happy. But of course it doesn't. Only when we awaken will we find true happiness. You don't really find it. It's your real nature. You simply awaken. Then you laugh. For you realize the world has always been like a dream. And now you're awake. And you go about your business. So you see, there's nothing special about a Jnani or a Bhakta. All is well. Now I'll give you a chance to talk. You can ask questions or make statements. Or hit me over the head with a chair. Whatever you please. Surrender, how can you react? Because what you're really doing is you're giving up your problems, your fears, your life to God. You feel in your heart that you will always be taken care of. The powers that be know how to take care of you and all of your affairs better than you can. So you give up your worries, you give up your fears, you give up everything.
You give up your reactions, is that what you're saying?
If you give up your fears and your worries, you'll give up your reactions, of course.
Is that positive?
Everything goes. You hold nothing back. We're not trying to exchange negative for positive. Remember, they're two sides of the same coin. What we think is positive is wanting things our way. That's positive to us. When things go the way we want. If we're unhappy over a situation, we say when the situation clears up, I'll be happy. But that's wrong. When you surrender all of it. You have nothing left. You're saying, God, take my good and take my bad. Take everything. I am nothing and you are everything. And you completely empty yourself from all thoughts, from all desires, from all wants, from all fears, from all frustrations. You give up everything. You become an empty shell. Then God rushes in and fills it up. And that's bhakti. You have no desires, no wants and no needs. happens is good. Your attitude is, I don't know. My human mind doesn't know anything. I don't know what anything is. So I give it all to you, God, take it. Then you begin to feel peace. As long as you want to hold on to something, you're not surrendering. In other words, if you say, take everything except this antique that I've had for years. So what are you doing? That's not surrender. You have to give up everything. That's real surrender. No wants, no desires, no needs.
It's also the notion of surrendering too.
The notion of surrendering, of course.
Just do it once and get it over with.
Exactly.
And everyone should have total confidence in surrendering totally, because you just get the God of yourself and that's it.
It's only an illusion that we have anything to surrender.
What was that?
Isn't it only an illusion that we have anything to surrender?
Ultimately it is, of course. Because you're really surrendering to yourself. But as long as you're not sure of that, and you think you are the body-mind phenomena, then surrendering is very good.
Robert, is it also a real important factor is to enjoy this whole process? I think people don't understand as much as can be expressed. The whole process is totally enjoyable. Enjoy life while you're
surrendering.
Enjoy the surrender.
Well, that's easier said than done.
What I mean is, sometimes the tendency is to be a zombie, or think that being a zombie is you're doing it, so to speak, or that's the outcome of it. So maybe they hold back from surrendering totally.
No, you don't want to be a zombie. The wolf man may be us. With a zombie now.
If you're a good enough wolfman, you get a lot of silver bullets.
Actually, you should have no motive. You shouldn't say, I am the enjoyer. You should have no motive whatsoever. When you have no motive, and you really learn what surrender is, enjoyment comes by itself. A feeling of joy overwhelms you. It comes by itself. But you shouldn't think, I am the enjoyer. That has to go too. You should have no thoughts about whatsoever. You give up human enjoyment, and you give up human misery. You give everything up to God. Not my will be thine. That's true surrender. You're empty. No thoughts. You gave it all away. See, many yanis don't like to hear this, or so-called yanis. They only want to hear, I am absolute reality. While they go on being mean to people, abusing people, looking down everybody. That's not Yanni. A true Yanni has a great compassion, always remember this, a great love. But it's not human. It's way above that. Within, without both. You surrender within, and the without becomes the within. So everything becomes God's love. You have nothing to hold on to, physically, emotionally. You give it all up to God. And when you really do that, your life will continue. Again, it doesn't mean that you're going to sit down in a chair in your house and never come out again. You will continue to do what you've always done, lovingly, compassionately, kindly. But you will realize that nothing belongs to you. Everything belongs to God. Your possessions, your husband, your wife, your friends. So if something is taken away, you realize it hasn't gone anywhere. Because it's all God. Therefore, you always remain happy.
There's a good story. You want me to tell a cool story about that?
Sure.
I saw a film. And in this film, this guy, a southerner, becomes a Indian person.
What's the name of the film?
Run of the Arab.
Run of the Arab?
Yeah. Run of the Arab. Like Arab. Okay. In this film, the guy marries a Lakota woman and they have a little kid. Okay, the kid doesn't know how to speak. He can't talk. Anyhow, the little kid is in quicksand and he's sinking in quicksand. Okay, so he's got this little harmonica that he can play because no one, he can't talk. So one of those people, cavalry, sees that and he goes over to a branch and he hangs down and he grabs the boy's arms and he picks him up. He swings him back and forth and throws him onto the land, and then after he saves the little boy, the branch breaks and he goes head first into the quicksand and immediately he disappears. Okay. So here's Rod Steiger is the father of this boy, it's sort of like there's no real loss, there's no real gain, it's just the same. One person comes out, another person goes in and sinks and disappears totally in the quicksand. So there's a lot of Yanni teachings and Zen teachings and whatnot in a lot of films. It's incredible. In some films. And everyone goes along their day.
attached to that event, and whatever's happening is just acceptance.
I don't like the word acceptance, because it implies to some people that they have to suffer, and that's good. You don't really accept. You know that all is well. You don't even think about words. You think about God. And if you think about God, there's nothing to accept. Everything just unfolds the way it's supposed to. And all is well. But and all will go well with you. Forget about words. That's why the best words to use when you're practicing bhakti is not my will but thine. That's it. But don't become too worthy. The less you think about these things and the less words you use, the better off you are. And do not try to analyze it. Do not try to figure it out. Simply, with all your heart and with all your soul, say, not my will but thine. And realize that you're surrendering your life, your feelings, your emotions, everything to the God within you, which of course is really yourself. So how do you know if you're practicing bhakti or jnana? If you're practicing bhakti, you'll simply feel that nothing belongs to you, but everything belongs to God. But I still believe that I'm a personal I, so I'm giving everything up to God. If you're practicing jnana, you'll feel that there's no personal I at all to be involved, and that you do not exist as a body-mind. So you will keep on investigating the I. You will follow the I thread to its source. And that's how you'll work on yourself if you're practicing jnana. The important thing is to be honest with yourself. You know you are the way you appear to be at the present time. So you have to do whatever is necessary to still your mind. You can choose bhakti, because when you surrender everything, you surrender your mind also. Or you can choose jnana, where you realize the personal I is the culprit. And upon investigation, you will realize the personal I does not exist. So a practicing jnani always investigates the personal I until they realize it does not exist. And when you realize the personal I does not exist, then your body does not exist, your mind does not exist, people do not exist, the world does not exist, and God does not exist. But for those of you who cannot do that, then practice bhakti. Become a practicing bhakti. But be honest with yourself. Do not, I repeat, do not practice dry words or affirmations. There's really nothing wrong with affirmations, but they're only short-lived. It makes you feel good for a little while. Then you revert back to yourself. Rather ask yourself, to whom do these affirmations come? And you'll see it's your ego that repeats affirmations. Why does the self need affirmations? The self already is. It does not need to affirm anything. So it's the ego that needs to affirm, not the self.
Robert, when you do this and you start to feel calmer and happier, or even at that very after you ask who I am, are you then, is that abiding in the self, or is that just another state of mind where there's kind of a quiet mind, is the higher state of mind?
As you keep working on yourself, then you're abiding on yourself. And the more you abide on yourself, the more peaceful you become, the happier you become.
So you say that is the self when you're quiet like that. It's not just not just the absence of the mind.
Exactly. When you are quiet, the self is in operation. The best way to prove that is just before you fall asleep. Between falling asleep and sleeping, you have a quiet mind. And if you can catch yourself, you will realize that you are exceedingly happy. The same when you wake up in the morning. Before you have a chance to think, just as you awaken, if you're able to catch yourself, to observe yourself, you will realize that you are extremely happy in that state.
Well, I always sort of thought that, but I read this book, and this guy has a different point of view, and he said that when you really are in the self, it's this really extraordinary experience, that these glimpses of the self, they're not just these periods of unconditional happiness. It seemed to ring true to me.
Well, when you are the self, and you are self-contained, absolute reality, do you have to have an experience?
Well, it seems to be, it's an amazing experience of non-experience.
There's no one to have a non-experience or experience. The experiencer is gone. Even the non-experience is a misnomer, because there's no one to have a non-experience. Can you follow that? There has to be somebody left to have a non-experience. It's better not to read. Read a little bit, but not too much.
To read like the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, is the best to approach it as darshan?
Yes.
As a worship?
I should think so. I used to carry the Bhagavad Gita with me for many, many years. But I never read it.
You've never read it at all?
I read it in 9 years.
Finally got around to it.
But when I carried it around with me, I never read it. I just felt good carrying it.
Why do you feel good carrying it? What could a book do to make you feel good?
Nothing, you're right. It was a stage in my life when I just wanted to carry it. Like some people carry a staff. Some people carry a bucket. I carry the Gita.
Everyone to their own form of madness.
That's right. See, there's no real way to be. When we're told not to judge others, we should take that literally. Because we can never understand another person. Do not attempt to. And one of the worst things we can do is to go around saying who's enlightened, who's not. Who's spiritually advanced, who's not spiritually advanced. Think about yourself. Get rid of your personal mind, you'll have no need to think of these things. If you're saying to yourself, then how will I know what teacher to choose? Forget about choosing a teacher. The guru is within you. Look to yourself. If you were meant to have a teacher, you'll have one whether you like it or not. It'll happen by itself. But don't go running around the world looking for teachers. God is everywhere. Awaken to your own teaching. Again, that doesn't mean that you should say, I am my own teacher. Do not say anything. Just be. Become aware. Become observant.
But the separate personal I can't get rid of itself.
No, it can't.
By trying to do so, it only emphasizes itself.
But upon investigation of the personal I, it disappears.
Yeah, but not because of anything it did.
No, because it never existed. That's why the only way to get rid of the mind, the ego, and the personal I, they're all synonymous, is by investigation. Through proper investigation, you realize they never existed.
That should take care of
it. Exactly.
Or surrender.
Surrender, yeah.
Comes the same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing.
But do it.
Yeah. Robert, when you investigate, though, that's on the mind level. When you ask, who am I? That's on the mind level. But when you pause after that, it becomes experiential.
It becomes experiential to an extent, but when you really investigate, where did the I come from? To whom does it come? Since it never existed, it disappears.
But what I'm kind of getting at is, when you ask, who am I, if that becomes effective and you begin to dissolve, you don't want to stay on the mental level of inquiry. You want to go into...
But you have nothing to do with it. It'll happen by itself.
Well, actually, it's a question. What I'm asking is, do we stay on that mental level of inquiry, or
well,
do
that's
we...
what I'm saying. So you've got nothing to do with it. If you're practicing who am I, and you're doing it correctly, the time will come when the who am I will disappear.
Right, that's what I'm
and
saying.
You'll be free. But there's no place where you have to stop by yourself, because your mind is stopping if you do that. You're using your mind and your ego. In other words, do not care when anything happens. Just do the practice, and everything will take care of itself.
And if you want to avoid doing practice, just wake up.
Of course.
Yeah.
Practice to wake up. Here's the answer you should have. If you're working on one of these practices, the answer you should have is, I don't care if it takes an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years. It makes no difference to me. If you have that attitude, you wake up already. But if you have in the back of your mind, well, I'm going to practice for a week and I'll see if this works, you'll always be disappointed. And you'll be running from teacher to teacher to teacher to see if you can find the one teacher that will make something happen for you. But you will learn one day that no one can make anything happen for you, because what you want to happen has already happened, and you just have to wake up to that fact.
You know, the other thing is to practice it like it's your breath, without it.
You want to practice it like your breath?
Yeah. In other words, one Zen teacher put his student in the water, right? Dunked his head under, that whole thing of, if you practice with detachment, but also practice it intensely, he almost drowned him. And when he come up, he says, if you can do your practice with that same drive that you had to get a breath of air while you were underwater, then you'll achieve success.
We saw that story when you didn't come. The Sunday you didn't come, we saw that story.
Yeah. But that's the other side of practice. Doing it with that energy and yet having no attachment to when or where.
Sure. Whatever you have to do, do it. But don't look for any time. Forget about time.
The means and the goal, too?
The means and the goal, yes. It certainly is.
Regardless of the apparent intensity in which you can do it, it's always that way.
It's always the means and the goal.
Is all pervading,
And let me preface by saying, is it my illusion that I am seeing it this way? But here we are, here we all are in this room, and there are many other people like us, this all-pervading, seemingly planetary happening that being that we are born divine, and when we become enlightened, we recognize it, so therefore it is. But why is it that so many millions of people seem to be asleep? I do not understand that.
You just answered your own question. You said, I do not understand that. Find out who the I is who does not understand. And then you will see that what you said is not true. It is the personal I that believes what you said. So if you follow the personal I to the source, that question becomes irrelevant, because that's not true. On the other hand, another way to answer that question, it appears that way. Just like when you're having a dream, and in that dream you see millions of people who are ignorant, and you're standing over there looking at them saying, how can this be? Why should it be like this? And I come over to you and tell you, you're dreaming. It's not like that at all. But you don't believe me. You say, how can I be dreaming? I see all the people here, I see you, I see everything. This can't be a dream, it's impossible. But I tell you, you're dreaming. But you don't believe me. Then you wake up. And all those people are gone. They never existed. It's been a dream. There never was a time when those people were born. There never was a time when they subsided. And there never was a time when they dissolved. Because they never existed. So you laugh at yourself. So, when you follow the personal I, and you follow it to the source, the dream bubble will burst. You will become awakened and you will realize there are no ignorant people. There is only the self, and the self is pure awareness, and I am that. Don't expect them to jump out of the Jay's smoking something back there.
It almost seems like perception itself is something that the mind is doing.
It is.
Yep. That without the mind there is not even perception. There's
exactly. There's no one to perceive anything. The mind is the culprit. The mind has got to go.
But perception takes place even after enlightenment.
Who's to perceive?
There's no one perceiving, but there's perception occurring.
There's awareness, if you mean awareness.
In unity and diversity, he means, right? Unity, perception, and diverse, as you see, perverse things?
No, they don't mean that. Do you mean awareness?
Yeah.
Again, awareness is a word. So for whom is there awareness?
You quote whether that refers to I perceive in me at this moment.
That's how it
refers.
That's how it appears.
Yeah, that's how it appears. But that perception is taking an occurring.
In the appearance.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But in the reality, there's no one left to perceive. And who needs perception?
What?
Who needs perception at that time? Mm-hmm. Who needs awakening? Who needs awareness? Who needs enlightenment?
Well, there's no separate who there.
There's nothing as we know it.
That's totally illusion.
Everything becomes redundant.
Yet people shouldn't be mystified either. Like everything's going to dissolve and blah, blah, you know. I mean, if people are mystified, their mind's just going to take off and they won't awaken to the simplicity of what the reality is.
Well, if they practice on I, removing the personal I who's mystified, then that won't happen.
It's mystified and it's simplicity.
So what can I do?
Well, just when you get up and go to the bathroom, don't stumble over that.
That's it. And you'll be mystified.
No.
And Jay has your best
the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So
all perception, what is perception? Is judgment and conditioning. Everyone perceives everything differently, so it's all where you're coming from, the way you see it, whether you want it more or less, or a judgment, some sort of judgment.
Everyone appears to be different, and we judge, we perceive, we come to conclusions, we do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So get rid of the I and you'll stop that.
Well, I mean, in my daily life, I recognize, I become aware of my perception of something. It turns out to be untrue. I find that's not true anymore. I see it for what it really is, and there's freedom there for that particular thing. And as I go on, I see my greed and my anger I see that it's a lot of times now it's false, or it doesn't hold water anymore, or it just sort of dissolves.
That sounds good. But in the last analysis, you also have to get rid of the seer.
Yeah, I realize that. But like you said, you got to do what you got to do, and this is the way I got to do it.
You're doing well. That sounds good.
As I think about this, it's almost like I'm able to see just how much I'm hanging on to things, like compartmentalizing things, if I have any box, then I'm hanging on to it.
That's good.
To see that it just comes out with so much more profound depth than...
You don't get hung up on that either.
Yeah.
Everything has got to go. I know some of you are saying, but I see you, Robert, and I see you this way and that way. That's what you see. That's what you're perceiving. It's always the mind. The mind sees things as it was trained to do. From your past experiences, from your samskaras, from karmas, from all kinds of nonsense. You are what you are today. Look at yourself intelligently, honestly, and see who you are. Are you the person who judges or perceives, who comes to conclusions? Who am I? Ask yourself. Remember also, when you say to yourself, who am I, what that really means is, what is the source of the I? When I personally ask myself that question,
yeah.
Nothing.
It refers to nothing. There's nothing for it to refer to.
Exactly. If I didn't have thoughts, I wouldn't exist as I appear to exist right now. But my thoughts are for the moment. I don't go past my nose. In order to function as I appear to function, I have to think, I'm going to grab this, I'm going to hit Nard over the head. I have to think about that. But that's it.
But beyond that, there's nothing.
There's no past or future.
So what's in the place of what could be thoughts of past or future is quiet or stillness?
Stillness, quiet. Exactly. There's no thing.
But don't get hung up on the words.
Don't get rid of what?
Don't get hung up on the words. Any conception of it, isn't it?
I shouldn't get hung up on the words.
Anyone listening.
I'm trying to help you out.
I'm trying to help you out. I'll
try not to.
If you appear to build a house, would you appear to have a plan first, or would you go brick by brick?
I have a plan. I would say this is the plan, and I would get Nard to build a house. For instance, today I went to my mailbox and I put the key in and it went open and got stuck. So I went in the house and got a screwdriver and a hammer and broke it open.
What went on in between from not working, getting the screwdriver?
Turned out not to be your mailbox.
Was there anger or frustration or
no? There was nothing.
Nothing. Just
I just noticed the key wouldn't turn.